So how is the COVID-19 outbreak already reshuffling global politics? To take a look at that, I'm joined by Nicholas Burns, former ambassador to NATO. Burns is also an unpaid advisor to the Joe Biden campaign and editor-in-chief of The Economist, Zanny Minton-Beddoes.
I am struck as much by the absence of U.S. leadership as I am by what China has been doing. We're in a world where multilateralism has become, in some sense, a bit of a dirty word. Globalism is a dirty word. It's a much more nationalistic world. And the U.S. was taking a different tack with a trade war and so forth long before this pandemic. But now, in the teeth of this pandemic, at a time when you really, really need big picture global cooperation, we just haven't got that. And it strikes me most powerfully, actually, when I look at what's happening in emerging economies, whether it's India, whether it's South Africa, whether it's places in the world which do not have the health systems that we have in the West, the economies are going to be hammered. And ordinarily, there would be a sort of big multilateral response to that. And that seems to be completely absent. There isn't any real global leadership on this.
Well, Nick, how do other countries see the U.S. right now in the midst of this pandemic?
I think, unfortunately, a lot of countries believe that the United States could lead and should lead, but won't lead. There has to be a global response to this. Countries have to share data on the infection so that we can model the crisis accurately and understand it. Countries have to work on a vaccine together and how to distribute it equitably. The G20, the group of the 20 largest countries of the world, is probably the right forum. They met for 2 hours last week in a teleconference. That means everybody gave a 10-minute speech and they went home. There's no sense that they're working together. And I think President Trump has been entirely deficient as a leader. Where is the simple expression of sympathy for the people of Italy from the President of the United States or the people of Spain or the people of South Korea? That kind of thing goes a long way, human sympathy.
Zanny, I mean, the U.S. has seemingly abdicated its role as that world leader, but is there space for the U.S. to step back into that role?
The U.S. is still seen by many around the world as the natural global leader. That hasn't gone away yet and isn't sort of dissipating completely. And secondly, China is viewed somewhat suspiciously, and China itself does not want to step into this role of real responsible global leader. China has a much more self-interested in the short-term sense of its role. I don't sense any desire to play that responsible global hegemon role. And so what we have is a vacuum, and a vacuum that can be filled if the US chooses to fill that again. I think around the world that would be welcomed with absolutely open arms. And so, no, I don't think it's too late at all.
If there is a deep and damaging global recession, even a depression, help us understand what that might mean for both the US and China. Nick?
President Xi and President Trump certainly have to worry about their own people if we end up in a depression. But we also have to do the right thing and not repeat the mistakes of 80 years ago in the 1930s, when in the wake of the economic collapse, countries built high walls around each other and they raised tariffs. This is a time actually for countries to lower barriers to trade so that the very important products made, say, in China can get to the United States or Britain or South Africa when they need to, or medicines or chemicals important for the pharmaceutical industry can actually get to source. This requires leadership. President Trump seems to believe that we're weaker when we work with others, that we're stronger when we act singularly, and he's completely wrong in that assessment, and it's really damaging us.
Zanny, we're kind of looking at this as China and the U.S. Where does Europe stand on all of this, and is there any place on the continent where they might step into the breach?
The Europeans are not really working at a European Union level together. Although the European Central Bank has done a huge amount, there hasn't been as much solidarity within the members of the euro area as yet that you would expect. And I think quite often now the conversation falls into two extremes. Either there are some who for a long while were saying this will be a big, big plunge and then we'll have a V-shaped recovery, everything will bounce back and we'll get back to normal. Or there was the very, very gloomy, this will precipitate a depression. What I think is most likely is something in the middle. It is increasingly clear that we are not one day suddenly going to say we're able to lift all of the restrictions, all of the social distancing, we're back to normal straight away. It will be an iterative process, probably at a different pace in different parts of the country, in different countries, depending on how much use is made of testing, depending on how much use is made of technology to understand where there are hotspots. And the sharing of that information, the sharing of best practice, working together to come up with the optimal way to balance this question of health and how you can open the economy, I think that's the real key to this having the minimum possible economic damage, which will be huge, but the minimum possible. And the other is how governments have reacted and what ways governments support their economies.
Nick, what is your most likely scenario for what the new world order would look like post-COVID-19?
Unfortunately, I think we're going to see a lot of people react against globalization, against global supply chains. You'll see companies back off undue reliance on China, either for trade purposes or because in a pandemic like this, you simply can't get what you need to manufacture. That will be one. We're certainly seeing a resurgence of nationalism, perverse nationalism, discriminatory nationalism. We saw Viktor Orban, the leader of Hungary, become effectively an autocrat yesterday and suspending parliament and suspending civil liberties. We're going to see in a way, the ugly side of human nature.
I am somewhat more optimistic because I think that we are unlikely to see as big of a change permanently in the world that some people worry about. I think there will be some reinforcement of the unwinding of supply chains of the sort that was, frankly, that was happening before because of the trade war. But I do think there are other areas where we're going to see really positive developments. I think it's going to be very, very hard now to eliminate sick pay in the United States. I think there will be a sense of needing to invest in healthcare systems, which is much more acute now than it was 6 months ago. My main thought on the post-COVID-19 world is that it was a world without real leadership beforehand, and I think it's going to be a world without real leadership afterwards.
Zanny Minton-Beddoes, the editor-in-chief of The Economist, and Nicholas Burns, former ambassador to NATO. Thank you both very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.